Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. We're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver. Telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 659, Beer Evan and Hansen.
It's a very long beer commercial?
It's like a frat movie. Like, hey everybody, it's something. Evan Hansen's here, beer him.
Beer me.
Yeah.
Is that an office joke?
What's that?
I think for the beer me.
I don't. I mean, that's we used to say that
something.
Yeah. That's, is it like think,
they might say in the
Andy,
office?
I think but it was an Andy joke.
But like, yeah, like yeah. We, no. I mean, people have been saying that forever. So
yes.
Yeah.
Ours was if you got up,
hey Moses, beer me.
Yeah.
If you got up, you're like thanks.
Ail me.
If you said thanks,
yeah,
it was like yeah, you're bringing
the
me,
Vikings. Bringing mead me.
Mead me.
Yeah. I really I thought there'd be more mbop in this movie. I was disappointed.
That's a bad joke.
I didn't get that one.
Hansen.
Hansen?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that is bad. God.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. And if you want to leave us a review, that's helpful as well.
We've had more ratings.
Have we?
No reviews, but ratings.
Okay.
So good enough.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Also, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. You can also become a League of Show Share member by sharing an episode. So here's the people who were kind enough to do this last week, this week. Well, I don't know. However time works.
Flat circle.
I should point out that Chris Falls pointed out to me that I had not been saying his name. And so when I click, so it used to be when we posted, I could just click the thing that said share and see who shared. And now
right.
It only shows me like three people.
Oh, that's weird.
And then it says more and not, it doesn't show. So then I realized if I go to our insights panel,
yeah,
right, I could go there and look at it and it would show me everybody. But now when I do that, it just flashes a pop-up and closes it with the name. Like,
get it real quick.
But it doesn't show everything. Like, it's not even like it's all there and I have to just keep doing over. It's still like there's a more button that I would hit.
You would think they
and
could
so,
figure this out.
I don't know. So like, so if I haven't been saying your name, I apologize. So that's why I'm not singled you out. You didn't do something to upset me. It's just...
That's why we haven't seen Disneyland Matt
for 7 years. Yeah, totally. So anyway, people who were kind enough to share an episode this week, Chris Falls, and apparently the last couple weeks. So, but I've said his name like five times now.
He's fine.
I feel like we're caught up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tammy Sherman Powers, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Williams, Julianne Jordan, Heather Sachs, Cinema Recall, Spoiler Piece Theater, Kathia Woods, Colby Mack, the Movie Journey Podcast, Chris Wilson, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Mike, and Oscar, Geek to Me Radio, Binge Movies, Ronnie Castle, Feel and Film, In Session Film, and the Minorities Report. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. You can also check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and you help us out, and it is greatly appreciated. And I guess we have new stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So the first, I've been trying to break down the Halloween timelines, and of course Matt Reedy called us out on the James Bond timeline, but whatever. But yeah, so the first episode is up with Josh Bell from the Awesome Movie Year podcast. That's the Rob Zombie Halloween. So that's that one timeline. I just recorded with Matt Basler, who I don't know if you guys know
is
this.
He related to Matt F. Basler?
He is related to Matt F. Basler. He had a TikTok video that like went legit viral and did like at least 4 million views, and I didn't...
Was it talking about the Saw series?
No, but he was moving... you have to go watch... Go look up his TikTok account. It's bonkers that it's that high of a viewed and shared video. But we just did the 78, 81, and then H2O and Resurrection. So that timeline has been recorded, and that will hopefully be out as soon as possible. And then we've got two more on the way.
Awesome. So there's all that. I guess let's dig in to Dear Evan Hansen.
You rat bastards. Making me watch a musical.
You've seen this? You went to Broadway to see this?
It sounds like
this.
You probably should have gone to Broadway to see this because it would be better.
Apparently. This was not enjoyable for me at all.
So I've never seen the play.
Oh, wow. You never
saw
this one?
No.
And that's surprising. I figured you would have at least caught the tour when it came
through. No, I did not. And so from what I can gather, this is not near as good as that, but I will say this is certainly a flawed film, but overall I enjoyed it.
Sure.
But
it's a really good show when you it's not as effective as the show,
right?
But it's tough adapting things to film, and this is a show that certainly works better as a stage production.
I honestly don't know. I'm curious, why does it work better on stage than it does on film?
Well, for one thing, age.
Can suspend your disbelief over the 35 year old, but you know, in fairness to that, people are like, oh, I can't, he's too old. I'm, you know, I guess I'll go watch Grease again.
So here, I guess my only thing about him was we saw him in Pitch Perfect playing a guy in college.
Yeah.
And that was 15 years ago.
It wasn't 15 years ago. It was nine years ago.
It was probably pretty close to 10.
All right. Yeah. But now we're seeing the same guy. Not Skyler, whatever his name is. This is he was the nerdy magic guy in those movies. But now he's older, significantly older, and playing a younger character.
But I bet you we could do an hour podcast right now of actors playing younger characters.
I don't think you're right.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Everything from, look at True Grit.
Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Let's look at Spider-Man. Spider-Man? And what about Spider-Man? Spider-Men are in their
20s. In Grease, there's a line where Stockard Channing talks about how she missed her period, and my first thought was menopause.
Did you ever see her interview for Lois Lane?
No.
Yeah.
She'd have been a great Lois Lane.
She did a screen test with somebody where she screened, and it's on one of those Blu-rays of her as Lois Lane doing the interview. I was like, oh, I could see that.
So back to the age thing. So, yeah, I'm not saying this movie fails because of it, but that's obviously been one of the biggest conversations about his age. So he was 26 when he filmed this. 26 playing an 18-year-old.
Seems reasonable.
That's not a huge stretch. Now, he does look like an old 26. Tom Holland, 25 or whatever, does not look like Ben Platt. But the point is, when you're seeing the live show from your seats...
Right.
From your seats is different than camera in your face.
Totally. He's also, I've seen the pictures of him, and he has, I don't know. There's a different look to him on stage. I've seen pictures of him in this.
Well, I think they did a service by giving him the curly hair. He has a real short cut in the state when he was. Now, this was 5 or 6 years ago,
sure,
right? So he still has age since then. But the short hair looked a lot more, I don't know if you'd say innocent, but he looked
younger.
Boyish, yes. Yeah. Added to. Now, with his face, I'm sure they did lots of tests. There may be a reason with that haircut it could have, with his face and the hair, might not have worked.
Maybe
right?
He's got some spots.
And I get that, they wanted to capture this performance, right? Like he,
the Book of Mormon thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And so like, or the producers, like, yeah, where they were like, oh, we want to capture these guys doing this because it's so good. So here's the thing. This movie's got, you know, it's a large, decently budgeted film.
Yeah.
Why not slap some CGI on it and just de-age them a smidge?
It's a good question why they didn't go the route that we see. We've seen it so much.
Yeah, but it's Marvel. Right? Well, like, it's, I don't, I mean, has there been anybody else that's done the de-aging thing? I bet
there's X in the City.
I bet
successfully.
I bet there's,
okay, that's fair.
I bet there's been a ton you wouldn't know of. They maybe touch up the new thing in Hollywood is, I mean, CG is so much cheaper than practical effects, and that includes makeup.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is easier for the computer to just go through and track the face and do the CGI makeup, if you will. I think they do it a ton and you don't realize it, and it's really effective. That's how why you don't realize it.
Sure, sure.
So it's a great question. That's a very good question. But anyway, so I don't think it's that egregious. And
I don't either.
People online, it's the internet. And the way that they're like, Grandpa, like, I mean, come on. Yeah.
I definitely did not. I never thought that he was 40.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But 10 or 15 minutes in, and you're like, okay, he's Evan Hansen. Like, that's it. Like, your brain just gets used to it. You're like, okay, does he look like a high school kid? No, he looks like he's out of high school. But then
it's the Han Solo thing, right? Like, when you're watching Solo, it takes you, anybody that saw that movie, right?
It took us
a minute.
That's not Han Solo. And then eventually you're like, okay, he is Han Solo.
It's just
like,
he just looks different, right? But
I think that's I didn't know where you were going, but I think that's great because it took me a while too. And even like my first viewing, where
20
I was like,
to 30 minutes in, you're just like,
But I was like, that movie was fun. I liked it. And I saw it a second time and I didn't think about him being Han Solo once. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. This movie is fun. You know, so it just takes your brain a little bit. But I found like seriously 10 or 15 minutes in and it didn't strike me that much again. But for people that haven't seen it and they just look at a screenshot or the trailer and they're just totally blowing it out of proportion, it's not that bad of a thing. And he's good. I mean, the reason why they cast him, aside from his dad being the producer, is that he's good. Like, I mean, singing wise, he developed this character off Broadway. You know, he did it before it went to Broadway, on Broadway. He has been Evan Hansen and for such a long time and from the character's inception, and he like lives this character. He embodies the spirit of this anxious, you know, kid going through this stuff. And so I just think that he knows the character so well. And you also then get, for the fans, you know, you're kind of doubling up. One, is he really good at that character? And then, two, the fans of the Broadway show or people that never saw him on Broadway after he left, it's like, I get to see Evan Hansen Ben Platt playing Evan Hansen, which is a huge deal to people that love the show. So I totally get why they did it.
I think that's one of the other issues that they're fighting is if they hadn't used him, there's such a fan base around these musicals, especially the ones that skew younger like this or Be More Chill.
Yeah.
That if you make changes, they get mad.
Right.
I mean, More Chill fans got mad at Be More Chill because they made changes between the touring production and when it went to Broadway, and they were like, we got to put some final polish on this, and people were mad about that, and like, honestly, they made the right call.
I don't even know what that is.
What's that?
What's Be More Chill?
It's a Broadway musical that's about like a teenager, and it deals with a lot of the same issues, but in a funnier way.
Oh,
now, so just,
it's a better show.
It's a better show.
Is
that being made into a movie as well?
Netflix, a couple weeks ago.
Is it?
Tom read something about pre-production on it.
Okay.
Because I've been saying since they announced this, I'm like, why are we going to Dear Evan Hansen before Be More Chill? I get it commercially.
Dear Evan Hansen is the bigger hit. Be More Chill is the better show.
The songs.
So you might actually like Be More Chill.
It's cool. Yeah. It's funny. The kids are like more nerdy. Like they're into video games and movies and pop culture. So the references are all like the stuff that we always talk about. There's not a suicide component. So they can have a more fun show.
Right.
Because the subject matter of this, and obviously if I'm sure you know the premise of the show, but like content warning, the whole thing is based on a character's suicide. So like that's goes throughout it, I think people are like, oh, the show and the musical numbers are just not fun, blah blah blah. It's like, do you realize if they made a bunch of fun big musical numbers when the entire thing is based on
you can't really make like a fun musical.
The only fun musical number in this movie was when they're composing the fake emails
and
they keep starting over, and I'm like, but even then I'm like, oh man, like this is like a really like
it's a really weird.
It's an awful thing to be doing, and it's weird that you're making it fun, and it's also weird that you're making it fun by kind of like reanimating the dead corpse of
this
the
kid.
Suicide kid.
Yeah, right, right.
And so like, but it wasn't at the joke wasn't at his expense, but it was still just I was like.
It was ill planned.
I need a second to kind of walk through this in my head on a, if this is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. So there are people that, to be fair, it's not just the movie. There are people since the show came out, you know, on Broadway that are even probably even before Broadway, except you didn't hear about it as much. But, you know, you've heard stuff over the last several years about Dear Evan Hansen is not a good show. I can't believe it's this popular, blah, blah, blah. If the idea of a story around a character that commits suicide, and then especially one character that lies about it, like if you're not even going to give it a chance, like I can see why people would just be like, no, like some people just can't even give it the time of day. They're like, that's a horrible idea. I'm not watching this.
I mean,
hate it.
I really struggled with the lying.
Yeah.
Like when Evan gets to like the family's dinner, it's like, what are you doing? Like just the problem is, right? Like he integrates himself into this family all based on a lie. He starts banging the dead kid's sister based on a lie. Like I cannot root for this kid.
He's hard to root for.
But all it takes is even the sister said, like the sister even tells him she's not saying anything that like their relationship isn't based on the brother, right? The brother's the thing that gets him the balls to talk to her, right? But it's not like that's the cornerstone of their relationship. She's into him because he is different than everybody else. And if he had just told the truth.
Yeah.
It's so simple to just tell the truth.
It's not, Joe. That's the thing I want to get to. No. Let's start from the beginning and let's talk about this character. So Evan Hansen, the titular Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
He's a character with severe social anxiety. I believe he has depression as well, but the main thing that drives this character is his anxiety. They set it up in the beginning really well, which I don't believe they do this in the play, but his mom works late all the time, played by Julianne Moore, and she leaves him money for pizza, and he's like, I can't order a pizza because I'll have to go to the door to get it. I mean,
they say that in the movie. They talk about that in the movie.
No, in the play. I know they say it in the movie.
Oh,
I don't know if they
say
it
in the
play.
Oh, I thought you were saying it's in the play. You weren't sure.
No, they do a good job here is what I mean. Because
if he has such social anxiety, boy, it sure goes away when he's lying.
I know, but
he spins quite a yarn.
He gets deep.
It's got a melody. It's got a nice rhyme scheme. Like, it's like when all of a sudden he starts to lie, all of that fades away.
I know, but things start going his way. This is what I'm going to get to, but I'm trying to set up Evan Hansen first. So we know he has this extreme social anxiety, so much so he doesn't even want to talk to the pizza guy. So, like, that's serious. Like, he has issues, right? And we find out later in the film he's going through a lot more issues than we even are led to believe in the beginning. It's not just anxiety. Like, it's some serious stuff.
Yeah.
How he gets his cast. I mean, I think that is such a... It hits you hard in the end because you realize just how bad he has it. Like you,
oh,
think,
I just like I guess that was so not
that's I mean,
a reveal to me.
That
I was
a
like,
reveal
as
to
soon
me
as
either.
It started, I was like, oh, he was gonna kill himself.
Yeah,
like I never for a second thought
given,
he wasn't.
Given what we know about, like we know about him before we see the fall. It's like, well, I know why he was there. Right, like he was going to kill himself. Like that was the whole.
Well,
you don't climb a tree. And then, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't think a kid climbing a tree and then falling is.
But you just said it.
A stretch.
A kid. Like, I mean, I climbed trees all the time when I was a kid. But by the time I was
if his friend calls him out when he's like, I fell out of a tree. He's like, what are you, five?
Yeah. Like, right. Like, that's not a thing.
So, okay. So I didn't immediately the first time I saw the show realize that. But I think that they want you to believe he's climbing a tree. He works at a nature park, whatever. I mean, there's just not that much going on. He climbed up a tree to get a view, whatever. But so, you know, spoilers. So that's a reveal at the end. But it's like, you know, his parents, everyone thinks he fell out of this tree, but he jumped out of the tree.
Right.
He was going to commit suicide himself. So I think when you understand that and you understand the character of Evan Hansen and how much depression and anxiety he has, doing the things he does are not okay. And in the show and the movie, they're not trying to tell you these things are okay. But I think you understand why he does them and how quickly it spirals out of control. because Evan Hansen is doing this assignment. Like, that's what the letter is. That's what the title of the movie means. The letter is, and I'm going to read it just for people that don't, and maybe they won't ever see the movie, but the letter is a task.
It's like a self-affirmation kind of thing.
So to like, yeah, like confirmation. His therapist wants him to write a letter to himself telling him why today is going to be a good day. Find the positive things before you start your day. Focus on positive, then go have the good day. So this letter, and I think this is from the stage show. I don't think they changed it, but if they changed a couple words, I apologize. I don't have a movie screen capture or whatever, but it says, "Dear Evan Hansen, it turns out this wasn't an amazing day after all. This isn't going to be an amazing week or an amazing year, because why would it be? Oh, I know, because there's Zoe, and all of my hope is pinned on Zoe, who I don't even know and who doesn't know me. But maybe if I did, maybe if I could just talk to her, then maybe nothing would be different at all. I wish that everything was different. I wish that I was part of something. I wish that anything I said mattered to anyone. I mean, face it, would anyone even notice if I disappeared tomorrow? Sincerely, your best and most dearest friend, me." And so he's writing that note at the beginning of the movie. And that's a note that, you know, is this task. And, you know, when you hear it, just hearing that note, it does sound like a suicide letter. It could be interpreted that way, which clearly, I mean, in the circumstances, it's clear why it was. So he's at school and it just, he's nervous. He's anxious. I mean, we see that play out, whatever. But this kid, Connor Murphy, is an outsider. You know, kids are, you know, he's angry.
But he's definitely got some issues.
For sure. Yeah. And when we find out in the movie, he was in rehab. So he's clearly dealing with a lot of issues. And so you see him, you know, people are looking at him and, you know, he's got that, like, he's dressed in all black and he's like slamming his locker and he's angry. So he's kind of painted as just a typical troubled high school kid.
Emo kid.
Yeah, like an emo kid. Yeah. Troubled. So he's in the library and Connor is in the library or something with Evan during a class break or whatever, and Evan is printing out this letter so that I guess he could, I don't know if it's just to read it or to bring it to his therapist, or
I think he's supposed to bring it to his
therapist.
That's
what I was like, assignment. Yeah.
So he's printing out the letter that he started writing that morning before school, and then Connor.
So they're in the library together, and like he's already written on, like Connor has already written on Evan's cast.
Yeah, that's one of the big things is like Evan doesn't have friends and he's not social, so he doesn't, no one signs his cast.
Even his quote-unquote friend is like, no,
yeah,
sign it.
I mean, that was pretty funny. Family friends.
That kid, I did enjoy that.
He was good. Yeah, he was good. Yeah. But that whole, you know,
he's on Atypical.
Oh, is he?
Playing basically the same kid, but straight.
Oh,
but,
right.
Yeah, but it's like the exact same performance.
That was
funny.
So,
but he's
yeah, I enjoyed him.
So we should mention, because that's a big plot point, is that, but so before this, that Connor's like, I'll sign your cast, and Evan's like, what? And he's like, no one signed your cast yet. I'll sign it. And he signs it.
Right.
So it's like, that's a big deal. And you get the humanity behind Connor there too, because they only show him as this like outcast, angry, whatever. And then Connor does something nice. He's just like, I'll sign it. And he didn't sign it like butthead or something. You know what I mean?
He signed his name.
I mean, he signs it big, which is kind of like a punk move, but you know, he's still.
Nobody else signed it.
Yeah, exactly. So he signs big Connor, like the whole face.
There's a split second with Connor when, I think it's when they're still in the library. And
they're sitting across, like,
and they have a brief interaction, and he comes across like a, and Evan gets up to walk away, and he has you see him look on his face for where he's just like, God dang it,
yeah,
like he wasn't trying to do that,
right?
Yeah,
you know? Right, right, right.
I think in the way that we see him through just the small flashback videos and those little nuances, Connor he's a troubled kid, but he's not purposefully trying to be a bad person. He's struggling with things.
But we don't, I agree with you, but we don't know that up until we see that video of him playing, of Connor playing guitar. Yeah. You've got, I almost said Isla Fisher, and that's not who this is. This is Amy Adams, who kind of is in a state of hero worship where she refuses to kind of see the bad stuff. And is like, he was a good kid, he was just having a hard time. But then you've got the stepdad who is cold and shut off and not really backing up the mom, right? That dad was actually on Law & Order SVU. That's the only reason I remember that guy, because I watched that show. And then the sister who I feel like garbage that I can't remember her name because she was so good.
Caitlin Devers?
Yes, Caitlin Devers in, what was that movie?
Booksmart.
And she's also wonderful in Booksmart.
There's a show on Netflix about like police officers investigating rape.
Oh, and yes. She's, like, she's the girl.
She's the main girl who, like, gets raped and then recants it and then tries to recant the recantation.
And then they make her, yes.
And it's a really good show.
So, yes, and she's fantastic on that. Where I remember her from is she played a very young, troubled girl on Justified with Timothy Olyphant. Fantastic. Mm. And she was great on that show.
Yeah.
So
Danny Pino is the dad.
Yes. There we go. So, but then you get her, the sister's side of the story where it's like, man, he wasn't nice.
Yeah.
And that's the only stuff that we get for a long time.
It's tough. So this show explores a lot of different views of like how do people remember those who are gone? And, you know, a lot of times when someone passes away, and I mean, rightfully so, it's a nice thing to do. Everyone is so sorry for your loss, so sorry for your
loss. And the sister
so
says that.
Loss.
She's like, people want to be my friends that I've never talked
right,
to.
Right, right. And so, but it's an interesting analysis because it's like, well, what if someone really wasn't a good person?
Right.
But you still go through all the niceties, but then the person you're saying that to, might, in this case, when it's the sister, is like, he treated me horribly.
World's yeah. Greatest Dad. You ever seen that?
Yeah. Yeah,
no.
Robin Williams. Directed by Bobcat Goldthwait.
That's crazy.
Where it's a very dark.
It is
comedy.
Directed by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, then no, I haven't seen this.
And basically, he has his son is a complete irredeemable.
He's
I mean,
horrible.
He's just a horrible yeah. human being, and he kills himself. Or what doesn't he dies masturbating,
yeah.
right? Like it's
yeah.
like autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
And then this kid becomes like the cause celebre of the school of like, oh, we all loved him and we miss him. And Robin Williams is like, my kid was a pecock. Like nobody
right.
liked my kid. You shouldn't like my kid. I didn't like my kid. Like and it's just him trying to process that. And it's
okay.
like it's. Yeah, it's definitely
and there's
not,
a lot of that here.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of that
so
here.
So it's interesting, though, because and it's not saying that one way is right or wrong or the way they handle it here, but it's interesting because you're getting a perspective from all these different characters, people that didn't know him, and then they're walking through the hall. Oh, I remember Connor, this, Connor,
taking
that.
Pictures like, in front of his locker.
Yeah and,
yeah,
and people telling stories, you know, passing to the next and hearing this thing, and maybe it's something he didn't even do. It's just interesting how people process that information. So I think it's an interesting exploration, and you see how the mom deals with it. You see how the dad is not a biological father, but he's been there since
he was like one or three.
Two,
three.
The daughter
yeah. was yeah. the daughter was one.
Oh,
he was three. Connor yeah. was three.
Oh, then I guess. Oh, then I misunderstood that. I thought the daughter was their child.
No, she.
Those
said,
were both Amy. Oh, he was the stepdad to both of them.
Correct.
Yeah, because he
you.
Remembers dad. She doesn't remember her real dad.
I got you. Yeah. I guess I misunderstood
okay.
that. And I thought
so.
That,
so anyway, so that. But with the Connor thing, so. Evan's printing out the letter. They're all in line at the school printer getting their assignments for the day, whatever. And then Connor grabs this. It was this yours? And then he looks at it before he hands it to him.
And doesn't he just see his sister's name?
And he sees the name Zoe.
Yeah.
And then so Connor takes this, even though this is Evan trying to do this for himself and he's struggling with all this, Connor, who's already beat up dealing with all his issues, is now
thinking
is being antagonized.
Yeah. Yeah, he does say he's like, you struck up a conversation with me just so I would see your weird sex letter with my sister.
Yeah, it's so.
And of course, Evan's like, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And I was with this character up until this point, right? Like, I understand the anxiety and like trying to just make it through school.
Well, Evan hasn't done anything at this point.
No, right,
you know
right.
I mean, he hasn't even yeah. lied yet. So, like, at this point, but I think they've done a really good job. And Ben Platt, as far as playing like anxious and nervous, like, I mean, he captures that. You can see this kid is
there's a
bag of nerves.
Yeah, there's a lot of Woody Allen in this portrayal, right? Like,
yeah, I see that.
In a lot of the Woody Allen stuff, he's kind of got that stutter, yeah. and he's got like the hunt. He kind of walks with like a hunchback.
I feel like Woody Allen's still a little more confident usually, but
no, I agree. yeah. With, yeah, you're right. But I mean, like in the way
the
that
neurotic,
he, in the way that
of,
he like carries himself yeah. and his speech pattern. Yeah,
yeah. So this is what sets the whole thing off. And unfortunately, after this final straw, and clearly Evan did not intend this, and it's horrible it happened this way, you know, so it's hard to say what would have happened had he not seen the letter. You know, he still was dealing with issues, but this is what sets him off.
He literally
kills himself yeah. after this. And so, you know, days go by. Connor's not at school, and Evan's like oh my god, like he's got my letter. And what's gonna happen?
You know, this little walk and talk with the friend where he's like, remember in like fourth grade where he picked up that printer and threw it at a teacher just for looking at him weird? Like, yeah, you're in trouble. Like, he's gonna do some bad stuff to you. And Evan's like, great, cool, thank you.
And he's called to the principal's office.
Yeah,
and Connor's parents are there. Amy Adams and Danny Pino, and they're, and this is what sets the whole thing into motion, the lie, right?
Does he lie here?
Well, because like he lies like, by omission.
He lies through silence.
Okay.
He just lets him continue believing.
That's right.
But this is where I think you either have to, I think once you've seen the whole movie play out and you think about this, talk about this, if you watched it again, I mean, you have to see how this starts. And I believe Evan's intentions were, he's dealing with extreme anxiety, and it's really hard when being faced with something like that sometimes.
I think I have I take no issue with this scene.
Okay.
Right. Like, I think this is this makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Where he's approached again with the anxiety. The mom and dad are like, he was your best friend, and he doesn't say anything. Right. Like, you're right. It's a lie by omission.
But these are two parents he doesn't know.
Yeah.
The parents of the girl he likes that's never talked to him, basically. And the kid who just stole his letter and he thinks he's going to beat him up. Like, he's in a very awkward situation.
I agree with you.
Not knowing anything going on. He doesn't even want to talk to the pizza guy. And I just said what he was dealing
and
with.
And he also, like, it hasn't been made public yet that this kid is dead or committed suicide. And so, like,
he is just between the parents and him.
Yeah. Because you see that after the scene as everybody's phones start going off, right?
Right.
So, like, it's also he gets the revelation of, like, oh, and this kid's dead.
Yeah. Right.
So you got to realize, like, what started is a very, I don't know if I want to say innocent, but, like, he's not meaning any harm by going with their.
He's a deer in the headlights.
That's the best way to describe it, is he's caught in a situation in this moment in the principal's office in the school where he doesn't know what to do.
But the parents are also constantly telling themselves what they want to hear.
Right.
That's the problem. And so I think.
Well, I think Danny Pino.
He still goes along and goes, oh, you were blessed. I mean, he still goes along with it in his own way. I definitely more, like you said, on the side of like, oh, this is Connor because it's her first child and whatever. But he still is like, oh, this, that, and the other throughout the movie. Like, he's going along too with it. And he did care about the kid too, since he was.
Well, we see that later.
Yeah,
for
he
sure.
does care for about sure. it.
So he was just more realistic about who the kid was.
Yes, yeah.
I think especially like post death, the mom is like, now this kid's frozen in the amber, and tomorrow was the day he was going to turn it all around, and he doesn't get it tomorrow.
She's lying to herself.
Yes.
I'm not saying it makes it any more horrible what happened, but she is lying to herself. The dad is being realistic.
Yeah.
And that's how they deal with what they deal with, right? They're different people. And so that's another interesting part of this is how people deal with this type of trauma. You see how the sister's dealing with it. You see the mom, the dad, and they all have different ways of dealing with it. But at this point, they say, we found his note, and we want to share this with you. You two were clearly friends, and you open it up, and it's his letter he wrote to himself. But again, I read it earlier. It clearly reads like a suicide note.
It does. Yeah, it works on both levels.
And if you find it on a deceased person's body, it 100%, I mean, what else would you make of that, right? So the way they put it into motion, it makes a lot of sense. It's not like, oh, that's weird. That would never happen. It's like, oh, crap. Well, that's how anyone would interpret that.
But doesn't he, like, take it, and he's like, oh, I got to go, right? Isn't that how that ends? Is like, he takes the note, or he doesn't take the note, but he's like, I gotta, and
I
just like gets up and leaves.
Did give it to him because it was a letter to him. I think they did give
maybe
him the note. But so that's how it starts. And they say, oh, you were best friends. He wrote this to you, and oh, your name is on
his name is on your
cast. And so all these things happen, and he's just like, yeah, you know, and with knowing what we know about his struggles, and even before the reveal at the end, but I just mean his anxiety and everything. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Given that awkward situation, and you're not ever thinking it's going to blow up into anything, it's like, okay, so we're friends. What does that change? Like, that makes him feel good. He had a friend that he could talk to. Like, you know,
I don't have a problem with that. That totally makes sense.
Right.
When we get to dinner,
right,
this is where things get bad.
Especially when he crafts this amazing tale, and he's supposed to be the kid that's the deer in the headlights at all times.
And he's
lies, that all goes away.
Well, he's able to craft this entire backstory and tell it, right? I guess I feel like if this kid has crippling anxiety, having to tell the parents and the girl that he's been lusting after since this movie be, for we don't even know how long, to be able to craft this lie and tell this lie perfectly and keep the lie going and building upon it and building upon it.
Well, it's not perfect, though. There are holes in it, but people hear what they want to hear.
That's true. Yeah. That's fair.
So there
that's
are
fair.
Any of them could have said, but you this was during the school year and you said you were summer or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they're from the beginning, it's not a perfect lie. But the mom...
Well, if nothing else, you can't... The trees in an apple orchard, you can't climb.
You can't climb. Yeah. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Maybe there are other trees around, but yeah, a good point. So it's like, but I think that's, they do that on purpose because they're showing you people hear what they want to hear and everyone deals with trauma differently. And so the way that none of them pick up on any of these details because they so want to believe that Connor had a friend. There
right.
was some, he wasn't a loner and there were people he confided in and Connor said these nice things and did these things and, you know, and the sister couldn't possibly believe it, but then she starts to like, maybe he did care about me and everyone wants to hear this because the alternative is not
good.
Good, right?
Right.
So he starts this, but I also think as you see Evan's character progress, yes, he is the kid with crippling anxiety, but then also we find out that his mom is never around. His dad doesn't want to talk to him. We see text messages and it's all one-sided and he scrolls all the way up and the dad's like, not now, I'm busy. So like this kid doesn't have a family. The dad is literally gone. The mom is never around because she's working. And then this family starts to take interest in him and care about him right from the beginning. Like, you were his friend and they're nice and they cook him a dinner and they see the family together and laughing and being nice.
Yeah, the other problem is that Evan's presence within this family, it's already broken. This there's a line by Amy Adams where she says, you have to Danny Pino. It's like, you have to tell her, talking about Zoe. And he was like, we can't tell her now. Like, this girl needs her family. Like, we can't. So it's pretty obvious that we're getting divorced, right? Like, that's what.
Oh, is it?
I mean, I took it that way where it's just like, we can't tell Zoe now that we're getting divorced. Oh. Because, like, you can tell the tension is there between the two, even in, like, the meetings where they're snapping at each other. Like, it's very passive-aggressive.
That's true. I didn't remember that, but it makes sense given their relationship.
Yeah, and he says, we can't.
Like, this isn't the time now,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, imagine if, like, hey, your brother just committed suicide. Oh, wow. Also, your mom and I are getting divorced.
I don't think anyone.
You know, like,
yeah, it's not the right timing at all. So, but as Evan is taken in by this family and gets this new dynamic, I think he likes that feeling. Like, I mean, it's just he doesn't have that, and once he gets it, he feels more comfortable. And then once he can tell them these stories and they say, they take him in more, it's like it's I don't know if you'd say addicting, but it's making him
feel,
it's
like a drug.
It's making him
that.
Feel wanted,
yeah.
And loved and cared for. So yeah, he was that kid, but this is the thing that's actually making him feel better. And so I think that between his anxiety and being in that difficult position and then starting to feel loved and cared for, and he's so depressed and dealing with these issues that, again, he tried to commit suicide earlier. So you've got to look at what he's dealing with that led him to that. And I think that it's just more sympathetic to see. It's not a good thing, but I think I understand why he did it.
I will
and
say,
how he
I
got,
can understand the why. I can't understand the how.
Yes, that's kind
right,
of
like
where
that's
I am.
Where I get yeah. stuck, is that it's like, it is that he shouldn't have the capability to craft this lie based on everything. The why negates the how. If he's this flummoxed by navigating the world because of his disorders, then he also should be too flummoxed to craft a lie,
a massive lie,
on the fly like that.
But you know, it snowballed, though. The lie snowballed from small, and you know, look at it this way, he made up a whole story about how he fell out of the tree. He tried to commit suicide. So he's lied before, and his mom believes it, and everyone, the doctors, everyone else believed it. So he does have a history of creating lies, and I think he's doing the same thing here. But the other people are also writing the lies for him. I mean, I know this is a song, and it's he makes yeah. it, you know, whatever. But again, Amy Adams and the dad, they are feeding him things. Oh, that was the orchard. You guys went to the orchard. But I mean, they're making
yeah,
lies.
They're giving him it's almost
it reminded
like
me of a psychic reading.
Yeah.
Of
right,
like,
right.
Yes.
Of I think like, of it as like a fishing.
I'm seeing somebody with a J, yeah. you know, and then yeah. they're like, Jillian, but it's a G, but there's, it's a soft G. Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
There's
yeah.
a man. I'm seeing a man. You know a man, right? Yes. Oh, Bob. Yes, it's Bob. Now, is Bob, he's older, or middle-aged, or older? Yeah, about middle. Yeah, you know, exactly. So when you watch how it plays out, it's very natural. And yes, he doesn't speak up and just say, I didn't know him. But aside from that, they are just giving him all this. And then he's intoxicated and feeling loved and wanted, which is one of the big issues that he's dealing with in therapy is the love and family. So it just, I feel, naturally perpetuates itself. And then he gets in too deep. And that's the problem. Is it started off, he just lying by omission. He just, the parents needed it. Why not say I was the friend? And then he became part of the family. Then they became best friends. Then they became spending time with each other.
So they were a couple.
And then the mom says, well, do you have any more letters? And he's like, probably some emails. I'll get them to you.
So he's like, because he has private accounts. And I'm sure he has all kinds of stuff.
So they,
right?
Again, because the dad or the sister's like, we didn't see any emails to you. And
well, the sister, I do appreciate this, that even Zoe is super... doesn't believe him.
She's the BS detector, because
and she's really good.
Zoe's not a parent, and Zoe was mistreated by Connor, so she is a lot more able to see through all the pain.
She's like,
whatever.
I went through his text messages. I went through his, and there was nothing there from you.
But then Amy Adams, again, like you said, and what I was alluding to earlier, she has a reason and explanation because she's lying to herself.
The old phishing email.
Yeah, right.
Can you send me your email address and password?
Of
for
course,
this
he had private.
Totally.
Yeah, of course,
Spotify.
Yeah. He had private accounts, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then Evan has to go to the friend, the family friend, and say, like, how do I create these emails? And so this guy is really clever, and he's able to...
Do you like where he's this kid was the, for me, Katie or Kate?
Kate
Devers?
That? Oh, Caitlin Dever.
Caitlin Dever and this kid are the two MVPs of this movie for me.
They're both... I think the girl, Amanda Stenberg...
Oh, the Stuco president or whatever?
She is really good.
She is really good.
I thought
good.
She
I would,
was...
I would agree with that.
She was in the Hate U Give and the Hunger Games as Rue. She was real little in that, remember? Remember Little Rue?
Yeah,
that
Little
Katniss?
Rue, that they murder.
That is the...
Spoiler.
I don't know if you noticed, but each Hunger Game, there is one kid that survives.
Just assume the six-year-old would be, maybe not...
And she was in a movie called The Darkest Minds, but I thought she was really good, too.
Oh, The Darkest Minds is a really bad, like...
Is that a YA,
YA
type
thing? Yeah.
Well, if you're in a Hunger Games, or go to every YA. So,
but yeah, he's like, it's going to cost you $2,500. And he was like, what? I don't have $2,500. He's like, 25.
Evan's like, how much do you have? He's like, 20. He's like, okay.
I'll do it for 20.
I'm not going to like it or something like that. So it just gets out of control. And that's what the whole movie is him getting closer with the family, their family, growing more and more distant from his mom because he realizes that.
Well, that's the other thing, right? Like, he is texting. I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
He's texting his mom. I'm at Jared's or who I assume is the family friend. Why not just say you're with your girlfriend? Why don't you say I'm at Zoe's? Like, why make up?
Well,
why are you lying?
It wasn't his girlfriend.
They were together.
Not at the very beginning when he was.
No, remember?
I think he's lying to his mom because he doesn't want these two worlds to collide. Because,
I guess that makes
because
sense.
Because she'll be like, I've never heard of this kid. How are you?
Well, she says that. They have a conversation.
Yeah,
goes,
they do. You're right.
Who's that Connor on your cast or whatever?
Is that the kid that died or whatever?
He denies everything.
Tells her the truth. Initially, right? He's like, he signed it, but I don't really know him. Right? Like, that's in the he says that. So he's fessing up to his mom.
So he can't say he's over at their house and because he was best friends or something.
But he's not, though. Like, because when we get to the dinner scene where the surprise is that Evan's mom is there at dinner, she says, you said you were at Evan's. You said you were at Jared's. You said you were at Jared's. He and Zoe are together at that point.
What? It was like the day before, like we just saw the scene where she was in his bedroom. Yeah, it was like the next day or the next week. I mean, it was very close to that.
So I think there are time jumps.
I do too,
but
we saw them get together and then the mom was there when they walk in the next scene. Like, that was close together. So there were lies to his mom. But I think what Tom said, it's a real simple explanation. He has two families. He's a businessman out of town that has a family in a different town.
Sure.
I mean, he can't let these two families get together because questions will happen and Amy Adams will say, oh, I'm so glad that Connor had a best friend for him there. And then the mom's going to go, what?
Yeah.
So it's just simple. He's smart enough to know, like, you don't let those two meet because.
Right. Especially because it makes sense on some level that Connor would have this secret life and wouldn't tell his family. It doesn't make sense that Evan would.
That's true.
Right.
That's fair. That's fair.
So that's the whole thing is the lie. It's a snowball lie, and we've seen this in tons of movies and television. That's not new, but the circumstances certainly are unique given this story.
They also don't follow their musical rules.
What's that?
So Evan has a song in the very beginning, and he's singing through school, and everybody's just kind of walking around him, not paying attention. Mm-hmm. But then as the movie progresses and songs progress,
right,
everybody's interacting with him while he's singing.
Right. That's purposeful.
Because, what do you mean?
Because at the beginning he's isolated. As the Connor Project takes off,
yeah,
he's no longer alone, right? Like his status in this world is rising.
No one can see him in the beginning.
Yeah.
The whole song is he's looking through a window on the outside looking in while he's on the inside looking out. But aside from that,
which is really about phones.
so the whole deal with that, like Tom said, is that no one can see him. Can anyone see me? Can anyone, you know? So yeah, I think as the movie goes on, I really like how they did that. And even in the car, he's singing and his mom's looking at him, but she's not looking at him like,
well,
that's
talking,
weird.
She's talking right, to him, right?
It's not looking at him weird. He's singing, and she's certainly not singing with him, but she's like smiling and looking at him in her own world.
Yeah.
So I like how the two are separated. And yes, you're right. As more people get to know him and actually notice him, then there's more singing going on around him. And so it's interesting because in most musicals, it's like one or the other. But this movie, the musical interaction develops and evolves,
sure,
which is interesting.
Yeah, and I guess the main thing is that he gets up there for the memorial and he can't get it together and he's clumsy and then he just starts singing.
Well, I mean, it's like, here's another example. Evan tried to stop this thing, I think, many times. Like, not like I lied or like even like I'm not going to see you anymore, but he's like, I'm not going to speak at the thing. Like, this is done. Like, he's trying not to perpetuate this. I was his friend, fine. I went to dinner. Connor was great. Thank you. Have a good night. Whatever. But then, well, you were Connor's best friend. You need to speak. Oh, I can't. That's crazy. I can't do this now. The whole school will know
like
we're friends.
Even the friend is like, come on, man. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. And like the friend is the only one that knows because he's helping him with the letters and stuff. But he never like tattles on him or anything. It's just, but you kind of see him as an ancillary character. Like, dude, this is crazy. But he tries to not speak at the thing. But then the mom, he tells the mom, he says, oh, I wasn't going to speak at that. And she's like, oh, you know, like you have to. And then she's like, I bought this tie for him and he never wore it. It was supposed to be bar mitzvah season and all these kids are supposed to invite him.
You run into a lot of Murphys at bar mitzvahs.
No, maybe it's because the dad's side of the family, though, you know, because they didn't take his name. Yeah. They're Murphy and he is Larry Mora.
Well, that's pretty.
So
yeah,
okay. So it's
that's
the dad
on.
Is Jewish. Yeah. So at least they, you know, but so he never got invited because again he's this outcast. He didn't have friends like Evan, maybe for different reasons. But they both are these kids without friends,
right?
And she's like, I would really love for you to wear this beautiful tie that I bought for him, and he never got to wear. So it's like, oh my god,
from Brooks Brothers.
Oh, fancy. But I mean, look at the guilt trip there, and then it's like, how does Evan, in the situation, no matter what he's already done, he did what he did for his reasons. It all fell into place. And then he tries to not talk the thing. And she does that to the kid.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I feel like he just constantly is put in this position to where the only alternative is to admit that he lied. And then how horrible. Now, clearly, as it goes on, it gets worse. But still, at that point, he's like, I can get out of this without getting in trouble, without hurting anyone's feelings. He keeps thinking he can just call it quits and this is nice, whatever. But then he talks to the thing, and then he has a moment that goes viral. So now he's gone from the parents to the classmates to the world.
Right.
And it's
now
like,
it's the amount of views is ridiculous. Right. They start the Connor Project, which will reopen the orchard or whatever.
But the point is, Evan's in now. Like, there is no going back.
Well, that's the problem, right? Is I agree with you. He's in, and he is starting this relationship with the sister, the girl of his dreams. Yeah, he got in all right. The girl of his dreams, who is kind of like, this relationship is based on a lie. And I will say, when we get to the end, I appreciate how it ends.
Yeah. But he didn't. But he didn't lie to get in the relationship with
her.
Lied for these other reasons that we've been talking about, and it just worked out that way, which is a thing that he wanted.
But he gets to play on the team. If we're going to use the baseball analogy, they are on the team together, right? Because of the lie. And then he uses things that he saw and remembered about Zoe, whether it's the smirk when she's playing guitar, right? And says that her brother said those things, right? So now that's another big lie. That's a huge lie. That honestly, if you watch that scene, that's the scene where Zoe is into him. Like, that's the scene where Zoe realizes, oh, I think I like this guy, because the next scene is her coming over to the house, right?
But he's doing it to make her feel better. He's not doing it to get in with her.
I agree with you. You're right.
I think all of Evan's intentions, with, again, the crap he's gone through, it doesn't mean they're the right thing to do. But again, I can see it. And he's in this situation where all these people are bummed, and they're trying to be happy and lie to themselves and this and that. And again, he's stuck with them knowing they were friends, and he sees what she's going through, and he's like, he hated me, he never talked to me, blah, blah, blah. And Evan's like, no, he did. And then she's like, oh yeah, what do you say? So he's on the spot, and of course the things he notices are like
boyfriend stuff. Yeah.
But to the brother, it would be like nice thoughts, you know, and like not in a weird way, but it's like, oh, he did think about me and think I was a good person. And
she's like, oh my God, I think my brother wanted to nail me.
But you know what I mean? So the intentions
But the problem is, she shows up at his house and throws herself at him.
But what's the alternative? What's he going to do?
In that, I got to tell you, when sex becomes a part of this and he doesn't tell her the truth, that's a problem.
Yeah, but the whole, he's now in so deep. I'm trying to say that without, he wasn't at this point.
Yeah,
but he can't. The whole world would unravel. He can't tell her the truth, but also he can't. I mean, that'd be weird to push her away. It's what he wanted. So
it is,
I don't know.
I agree.
How,
but it is. It's under false pretenses that he's acquiring access to her nether
body
regions. You know,
I just don't. He's a high school kid. I just don't know. I get what you're saying again, because I'm not saying, and I don't think the movie thinks that the things he's doing are good, but I don't know how many high school kids in this very specific awkward situation would do differently.
Oh, I don't think very many of them would, and if they had gotten to this point, but it doesn't change the fact that it's very problematic.
That's
if not rape, it's certainly rape adjacent.
I don't disagree. I think you're 100% right.
But I think the main point is, when we get there, we'll touch on it more. But like Joe said, he shouldn't win in the end, because that's the problem.
Right.
Because of the false pretenses, because of the problematic things he does, he does not deserve, even with his issues and stuff, like, he needs help. But he does not deserve to, oh, well, he's struggling, so he can do all this, and no one was hurt, and it's all, oh, happy day. It's like, no, it's a very problematic thing, and people were lied to and donated money under false pretenses.
A lot of money.
Yeah. So I totally...
Well, that's what we say, right, is that the donations kind of stall out. The head of the organization kind of, like, calls him out, kind of calls Evan out, because he's stopped showing up. He didn't, you know, like, she says, if you were his best friend, you'd be here no matter what. But now that things are kind of going your way, you've kind of backed off, you've shucked your responsibility. Were you even really friends with him? And this is another point where, rather than saying no, and I agree with you, he's in a shit situation. Rather than saying no, I wasn't, he doubles down on the lie and shows her the note.
Because what's the alternative? Now he is in too deep. This is the problem. And so it sucks that he does this. And this is also something very personal. And like, yeah, you should never have shown this. But But in the situation,
he didn't have a choice.
He did have a choice, but in everything.
So he says, please don't post this. I don't know
why. Just show her the phone.
Don't send her the copy.
I think that is the big deal. That if you want to show someone something, but don't let them have a copy of it, you just show them. You don't
show
send it. So,
yeah.
But that's the problem. I think he was so nervous, and like, oh my God, she just said, I don't believe you because of this, that, and the other. You know, I'm starting to put the clues together. And he's like, if he wasn't my friend, why would he have said this? This is his letter.
Right.
And he emails her a copy of the letter. You can't show this to anyone. Okay. Yeah. Because
and
that
within
never
and within like what 12 hours? Well, no, eight four so, hours. She's like, nah.
So in the meantime, the Connor project that you talked about that's trying to reopen the orchard, it's like one of these Kickstarter things where you have 30 days to raise the money. If you don't, then they don't give you any of the money.
Right.
So she's 10 grand short of her goal or whatever, and it's about to end. So she is desperate too. And even though he confided in her, she's like, well, then all this would be for naught. And then Connor's memory's forgotten. So she thinks she really is doing what needs to be done, even though it is kind of breaking the rules or, you know, ethically, like what you should do. It's she thinks she's doing it for the right reasons, you know. So it's a bad choice morally, but also for good moral intentions. So, you know, it's it's complicated.
Her heart's in the right place.
Yes, it's complicated. And that's what I think is interesting about this movie is it. People are complicated, and this situation's extremely complicated because of these things that he keeps getting himself into. And so when people dismiss it without watching it or saying, I'll never see this or whatever, it's like, the movie isn't saying, oh, yeah, just go around and lie and do all this and it's great. That the point of this movie is not saying Evan is doing good things. The point is showing how you can get there and maybe how you can avoid it or how you should. It's teaching you a lot of different things.
Do you think that you need somebody to root for in these situations, or are you just in with these characters?
I think his stuff's relatable. I mean, clearly I've never gone through anything.
Well,
like
is it relatable
intense,
and you're rooting for him, or is he just relatable?
You want him to get help, and you want him to get out of this thing unscathed. I mean, I don't want her to keep going deep. You know what I mean?
Right.
You want him to get out. He was put in this situation, and he made some bad choices, and you see why he does, and you want him to stop making them.
Right.
And it's unfortunate they never do. But I don't think he's a villain. I think he's a kid that got put into some terrible situations and made some poor choices.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't
like
think
the Joker.
He's not innocent, but he's also not a villain, right?
Right.
There's a gray area, and that's why I think this movie's interesting, because, again, people are complicated, life is complicated, and this tells you, this is a commentary on a lot of things, parents, families. Do you actually know your kids? Do you actually, you know the people they are? You know, you feed yourself these lies and what you want to believe they are or how they are, but are you actually talking to them? Do you know your kid plays guitar, and have you ever heard him sing? The mom's never heard him play. You know,
that's an interesting point. Is like, yeah, there is the guitar in the room, but nobody,
no one's ever heard him sing
or play the guitar, yeah. Right? Like,
right?
Say
never. No one's ever seen him do anything with it, but he plays this beautiful music. When later on we see this video from rehab someone took, and it's really amazing at the end and everything. So it's like, do you know your kids? Are you paying attention to them? These parents are so oblivious. Like, you can kind of see how Connor got the way he was. He was troubled, but I think the dad was busy and the mom just wanted to believe that he wasn't that bad, you know. And I mean, this show, I loved it. I saw it twice live. I think because of those reasons, the subject it tackles, and it tackles the suicide. And, you know, do you know your kids and what they're going through? Are you giving them the help they need? Are you there for them? And then, you know, how people deal with these situations. And I just think there's a lot going on here that
sure.
you can, you know, analyze. And they're not telling you the characters are right or wrong, but they're human, right? And you can decide these things. And so I think that they touch on a lot of really interesting subjects. And so that's my answer. I think Evan is somewhere in the middle, not a villain, not completely innocent, but I understand his motivations.
Sure.
And so,
yeah. So basically, what happens is he gets busted. That's the long and short.
The girl
of it,
puts the note online.
Puts the note online, and then the people turn on the family.
Internet.
They're just like, well, they send this to the best friend. How awful are they as a family? And finally,
they're rich, and then they're like, well, and you know, Connor didn't have the help he needed, or like
right.
money to go to school. And
so
things.
Evan goes to the house, and he blurts it like it's a mess there. Things are back to where we were in the very beginning of the movie.
And I thought this was a gut-wrenching scene.
I would agree with
words
that.
Words fail. When he's at the dinner table, Ben Platt's performance and the song and the reactions to the family and stuff, I thought this was amazing. I don't know. This is like, I felt it.
I'm with you. Yeah. I can see where you would feel that. And that's it. Like, this is the end of it. And then obviously they can't say.
So here's the deal. The family's being attacked.
Right.
And Evan's like, I can't let your family go through this to Zoe. Like, cause Zoe doesn't want anything to do with him. But she's like, the next day at school or later at school, she's like, we decided, you know, it was their decision, but we're not going to tell anyone.
Yeah, because they don't want something to happen. They don't want to lose another son.
Yeah, they're afraid that, like, that'd be bring so much heat down on him, he'll do the same thing.
Right.
Right, which is reasonable, and not even knowing everything they know.
I got to tell you, she has a delivery that is some stone cold, gut punch.
It wasn't my decision.
They don't want to lose it. Like, the way she says they don't want to lose another son, and then the last line that she gives him at the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
She is really good at doing the that stone cold delivery of
but
a line.
She has been through the ringer.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, big time. Twice.
Her betrayal though at Evan, which I totally understand. Again, I saw how it got there, but knowing what happened and that finally came out, it's like, yeah, you wouldn't be with that guy. This isn't a the end of the movie. They make up. I saw how much good you did, and I'm sorry, and whatever. Like,
no, I think that line was so basically what happened. Everything falls apart. Evan sends a message via Instagram and says, I made this
but
up.
But this doesn't happen in the musical.
Oh.
So this is what I want to talk about. This does not happen. I think they did.
I think it's hard to do social media in a musical. Fair?
No.
They put screens on
this,
the stage,
yes.
And like while the
this is
action's
so cool.
going on,
yeah.
You're seeing social media posts.
Yes. Okay.
On the, yeah.
That's another reason that I didn't get to keep going in the beginning when I was saying why it worked on the stage. You feel it is so cool how they do this on stage with these screens, and you see social media messages pop up, and when the internet sees Evan's viral video, you see reactions and videos coming in like you're going through. They do a good job in the movie of showing it, but they do that on screens, and you're like being enveloped in them.
I think the director does a good job of opening this up, like,
yeah.
and not making it feel staged.
Oh, sure.
Like a lot of
yeah,
times
sure.
musicals, when they adapt them for the big screen, they kind of
yeah.
get stuck.
Each little set is like this
yeah.
confined to the stage.
And
yeah.
so like I think he does a really good job of like making this not feel
yeah.
like it was adapted.
Sure,
to the
sure,
stage,
sure.
But you see Twitter messages pop up on the video screens around the stage. You see the viralness go on in these videos and all the people touched by it, and they start filling up, and it's a really neat thing. But so in the stage show, that's it. It's like, we don't want to lose another son, whatever. It's a really touching moment. And then Evan just goes off to reflect on what he's done. So he didn't ever really have to face any consequences. And I think after 6 or 7 years of the show and reflecting, and I think them listening to people that do
yeah.
have problems, it's like, okay, he has to have some accountability.
So
here.
He doesn't, you don't get the scene with the daughter?
You do.
You do. Okay.
They just never, he never told the world. No one knows that he
it
lied.
Remained a secret.
It remained a secret,
oh, okay.
which was kind of, it's still in its own way, was nice. Like the
yeah.
family, even
I
though
thought,
they can't.
I thought you meant he posts the video and then the play
oh,
ends.
Oh, no. Sorry. No.
Okay.
To be clear, yeah, that's why I didn't, sorry, you skipped ahead. I wanted to stay on the admission part. That's what's kind of nice in its own way is it's like, well, clearly Evan can't be a part of their family, but they did have this connection, and Zoe does say in the stage show, and I don't know if she doesn't elaborate as much in the movie, but she's like, you know, this was horrible what you did and all that, but it brought our family closer together. So in a way, like, yeah, it was wrong, but also like my parents are together now.
Right.
And I got to know my brother when I never knew him before in a certain, you know what I mean? Like she just says like all these things. And it's like, yeah, you can't be a part of any of it, but also like we're doing okay. So just, you know, it's a
piss
nice,
off.
Yeah. But you know, like kind of thanks, but get out of here kind of thing. So
right.
it's a nice way they end it to where he doesn't get the girl. He doesn't get the family, but also he doesn't like go to jail. He doesn't ruin his life.
Yeah. No
and,
joke.
You know what I mean? But like, it's a kind of a nice thing. So in the movie, he's like, I can't let them do this. Even though they said they weren't going to admit it. Like I'm going to say something. He sends this thing out, which clearly ruins his reputation. I
yeah.
mean, you
yeah.
don't see a lot of that, but you put that out there. His name is Mud. Like
that's
you know.
Well, he's back to where he sort of, right.
He's eating lunch alone.
He's
no
back
one
to where he was in the beginning,
him.
But he's a little
well,
bit different.
He's worse though. He's alone,
before
but now everyone's
they,
looking at him.
Like,
I guess that's true.
Before
yeah.
they didn't know he existed.
He was
now
anonymous.
They're deliberately yeah. ostracized.
Yes.
Right,
he does pay for that, right? That's your last year of high school. You've got to live with that. And now like, this thing was a viral sensation. Everyone knows who Evan Hansen is. You know what I mean? This
yeah.
would be a story that would go,
right.
would be huge. So he's got to live with that. But then they meet at the orchard. And
I will say, the scene that after this where he delves into Connor's social media and he starts to like do research on this mm. kid, I was like, well, I could take that out. I don't need like...
Oh, I disagree.
You think
I
you
think
need that?
This is his redeeming moment because the mom looks at that guitar earlier in the movie and she says, I never heard him play a song. And so he goes out and he had made up all this stuff about Connor and they thought they were getting brought closer to him and it was all just fan fiction, right?
Right, right.
And so like he finally goes out and finds a tangible piece of this kid that they never got to
yeah.
see.
Sure, sure,
and
sure.
so, like, to me, that's his
redemption.
That's Evan's redemption.
Yeah.
Like when he finds the footage of that kid singing and playing the guitar,
he gives it to everybody.
Like that, now they have a piece of their kid that they never
right,
knew,
right.
never got to see.
They got to actually know Connor for the first time,
which is the whole reason they brought him into their world.
Sure, sure.
So
sure.
I think
like,
that's
I don't mind doing the research, but like. Him reading the books and like, well, Like, I feel like that ship has sailed for you. You don't get to have that connection
with
Connor.
It's not for him, though. It's
but him,
selfless,
him reading
not...
the books, though. Like, him like,
I think he's
trying to have that, like, yeah. understand the guy. It's like you could have...
For them, I think because he wanted to... He's trying to
I think
gather...
it's both. I think he's like, okay, I didn't get to be friends with this kid. What, like, let me try to...
Yeah,
let me try to experience his world in
sure,
some
yeah.
capacity.
Sure, and then I do agree with you though, like that sending the parents to him playing guitar, which I also feel like why are you recording that in
right?
A
it's a
like
it's
what
a stretch,
are you doing?
It's
like,
a stretch
what,
that would have
thinking the same.
Yeah,
thing.
I don't
I
think
like,
you're allowed
not
to do
supposed
that.
To whip out cameras in there. Like,
I think it was probably a shady recording. You know,
yeah,
just
right,
like,
right,
oh,
right.
Look at this kid. I'm bored in rehab, or but I get it. It's a stretch that it happened, but in this movie it did, and he got it and
right.
got to do something nice for them. But yeah, I think it's really great that it ends like this. And
but no, I do agree that
gave
in the orchard,
him more.
Yeah,
yeah, they give him more consequences of having to deal with all this and people knowing that he did all this. And then yeah, and in the end, he doesn't get the girl. He doesn't get the family.
He doesn't get get to go to college
for a year at least. But he's saving his money to work for it. You know, yeah. we didn't even mention like once he got close to the family and the mom was over, they're like, yeah. "We want to give Evan Connor's money for college that we saved for him." And
Julianne
you know,
Moore's like, "Go F yourself."
And she completely, basically, and this is another commentary on parents and are you a good enough parent because these parents can provide. And she's working her ass off, and meanwhile, her kid's going over to the rich kid's parents who can give him everything.
Right.
There's a lot to say in this, and I think it like Julianne Moore's reaction is strong, but it's also understandable.
Sure.
She feels like she's not enough, and she's doing everything she can, and Evan's everything to her, and she's losing him to parents that can give him what she can't, and so. It's really a heartbreaking moment throughout, and the performances are excellent. Everyone's great in this movie.
I will agree with that. Yeah. There was never a point where I was like, ugh, this person sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But that's it. Like Connor doesn't get the family, doesn't get the girl. He has to live with this, and the family is in the end doing better than they were in the beginning. So if this all had to go down, I'm not saying it was right that it did, but it's like, you know, the family's actually closer because of it.
Yeah.
You know, and they were, like you said, on the verge of divorcing.
Yeah. It was over.
Yeah. So, you know? I mean.
But I do. I want to touch on
yeah.
Caitlin Dever's little monologue here at the end.
Yeah.
They're walking down the orchard. She is dressed. She's very pretty. Right. And I feel like that could be a little on purpose as like a middle finger to Evan. But she's like, I wish I could have gotten to know you now. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I would have known you now. This whole thing started now. And it's like there's that moment where I was like, oh, don't do it. Like, don't. Yeah. And then she's, you know, they have their little speech and she's like there. She's walking away. And he says, why did you want to meet here? And the punt to the is where she's like, you talked about this place. I wanted you to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. Yeah, you deserve that. You absolutely deserve that. And that's and then you get like the graduation and then that's kind of how it ends.
But I'm really glad that they didn't tack on a happy ending where
he didn't deserve it.
Like, no. They don't even leave room for hope. It's
no.
just like,
she's like
I don't hate you, but you ain't getting this anymore.
But that's what I'm saying, too, and to all the people that won't give this movie a chance or see it. The movie, the moral of the story is not do all this lying and especially around suicide and exploiting suicide and get the girl and live happily ever after. This is bad what he does,
yeah.
right? Like, that's the thing, and people are not giving it a chance, and I think that's frustrating because it has a lot to say, and it is exploring so many different topics, and I think that's why the show is so popular, is young people can relate to a lot of this stuff, and it's not just as simple as, oh, old guy and exploiting suicide, and why should that be good? Like, no, he's not the hero.
No.
You
He's
know?
Not the hero.
But you can also see how lying can get into trouble, how you need to get help, ask for help when you need it. You know, both these characters, Connor and Evan, need this help, right? And the mom wasn't giving it to Connor because she kept changing different things she did and thinking he's going to be okay. Well, he wasn't. And you know, and Evan needed to continue with help. And, you know, there have been so many things we can go on and on about parents and touching base with your kids and making sure your parents know you appreciate them and whatever. There's a lot to this movie. And so, I think the stage show's better, but I think the movie did a really good job of adapting it. And, you know, the music's great. It's Pasek and Paul. They did La La Land. They did The Greatest Showman.
Oh, blah, blah, blah.
You know, they've got Tonys. They've got Emmys or Grammys, they won. This show won 6 Tonys. You know,
that's pretty impressive. Like
Ben Platt.
You know.
So, yeah, I mean.
I think there's a good chance this will be one of the last Broadway musicals to get adapted to the big screen.
Yeah, we've been there's been a run
after West Side Story this Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's things already in the can, but yeah. I think
it's run its course.
I think you're going to see more Broadway musicals.
Hamilton.
But it's going to be like Hamilton and Come From Away.
That's how
they're
going to
film
it.
The show. I think this movie would have benefited from not being a movie if they should have. They should have restaged it with this guy if they wanted to capture his version.
Yeah,
which is fair.
People can play anything on the stage because you suspend your disbelief differently.
Right.
I know movies are movies, but you still there's something different between you can have. It doesn't matter age, gender. Race. I mean, look at Hamilton, right? I mean, none of those people are the ethnicity of the historical characters, but you can do things on the stage that just they work differently, right?
Yeah.
And it's more artistic when you make changes like that. With a movie, when you do it, it may be because of the people, right? It's not that you're necessarily doing something wrong, but people perceive those two mediums differently.
Yeah.
And so you're used to a certain thing in movies, and what musicals are probably 0.05% of all movies. So when you see that many narrative films,
sure,
and a musical does something, you're like, this just doesn't work in this medium because I'm not used to it. So
I know that there's at least two songs from the play that got cut.
Four.
Okay. And
the first song, does anybody have a map, is a really great song that opens the musical. They cut that. Disappear is when they're literally Connor is disappearing. It's a really sad song, but it's like the real Connor's in a lot of the musical.
Yeah.
The stage show. Connor's in a lot of it. It's not real Connor.
Right.
It's in Evan's head.
Yeah.
But the actor is on stage following around with Evan, talking to him, convincing him to do things. It's a really interesting dynamic because it's all in Evan's head. But you get to know that you get to see this version of Connor other than Evan just talking about that version of Connor. So it's interesting.
Right.
But yeah, this disappear is like Connor's memory kind of disappearing. I don't know. I think for the better, that one got omitted, but it's still a good song. But in the movie narrative, it's like,
well, and the movie's already 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I get why they cut things. I wonder if they were filmed and there'll be a director's cut
where it's all in
with
all
a lot of that. Cause I know two of the songs were for the parents. And I do think the parents kind of get a little bit of a short shrift.
We know Amy Adams can sing as well.
Yeah.
You that is one of the other downsides to it is you lose the when you take away Does Anybody Have a Map in the beginning, both the parents are singing about their kids and you see their lives cross over. Like, you see the juxtaposition of rich Amy Adams and singing about her troubled son Connor, and you see Julianne Moore. You would have seen Julianne Moore's character singing about Evan, and how, he's shy and she loves him, but she's got to work a lot or whatever, but you see the dynamics of the two and they're all singing together and they bounce back and forth. And so you kind of lose those parallels between the parents, which is a big part of the play throughout, and you just really, it only culminates in the dinner scene in the movie. So yeah, I agree. You do miss that.
Yeah, it's also weird that Julianne Moore's character only has one song in the
movie.
Yeah. And it's especially, and it's like,
part of a song.
And
right?
It's,
like, it's not hers.
Well, it's that, the thing at the end about the truck and the driveway
and
stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's also just odd that it's like, you had, like, at that point, I just kind of was like, oh, her character doesn't sing. Like, and so when she started singing, I was like, oh, she's singing. Okay. Like, it was,
she's just not in much of the story, other than the beginning scene in the play. Then it's like, yeah, you have the dinner scene and a couple little scenes with Evan, but that's the thing. She's never around. So that character doesn't get a lot to do.
Yeah. It's surprising that they cast an actress of her stature for that minor of a role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is and it isn't, because also it's like, this is a huge production based on this famous play. And it's like, I kind of get it because, they want names. That's the problem, is they didn't go with, there are a lot of talented people on Broadway that could have done this age appropriate, even better singers. Not that they were bad in this, but there's a lot of talented people and they went with the stars for this.
Right.
Kind of like the Super Mario movie. It's like, what?
Right.
Chris Pratt is Super Mario.
Get the
man, Charlie Day is Luigi. It's like, what? You know what I mean? It's like, they could have got voice actors.
He got
hammered.
Yeah. It's an odd choice.
It is an odd choice.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I think moving forward, I think you'll see these plays just get film.
That's a good point, because Hamilton was super successful.
And put on Apple TV or Netflix or what have you.
As
which
a theater fan, I want to see the original Broadway cast. I don't care about...
Agreed.
I like Julianne Moore and Amy Adams. I don't care about them in a musical. Give me the Broadway people.
When they adapt a musical for film properly...
Yeah.
It, you know, it's great, but
and I love movie. They, obviously, there's a lot that I do,
but they
love,
almost but. Never do.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
they
sure.
almost never do. There's way more misses than hits. To where I'd rather be like, just document the thing that got it right.
Well, look at this. I know not everyone loves it, but Rent is almost the entire original Broadway cast, but it's a movie version. It's not a filmed stage.
Right.
It's
but it's kind of got the same problem that this does in that they use the Broadway cast, but now they're in their mid 30s.
Rather than their teens or early 20s.
Rent isn't about high school kids. So
But they're supposed to be these young kids just starting out in the world, and they're not young kids.
But it wasn't that... That movie wasn't that far after it debuted. Maybe it was 10 years later. But,
well, but that's a big difference when it's the difference between making a movie about 25-year-olds and 35-year-olds.
It didn't bother me, at least. I get what you're saying.
Dazed and Confused versus Singles.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying that maybe
I mean, a 35-year-old being like, I'm just trying to make my way in the world. And I'm like, you're pushing 40, bitch. Figure it out.
You should have figured it out by now.
Yeah, like, you know.
But there are a lot of great ones. But yeah, this
also,
one.
Also, hot take. Rent sucks.
I've never seen it.
It's not good. I don't understand. I saw it like on its 20th anniversary. I'd never seen it. I was like, okay, let me go see this. Everybody loves it. I'm watching. I'm just like, the whole time, I feel like so old and curmudgeonly. The whole time, I'm like, just pay your rent, man. Just pay your rent.
I love Rent. I've seen it in small theaters,
and like
big
half
theaters.
The kids are like, well, my dad has all this money, but I'm not going to pay my rent because I'm going to stick it to the man. And I'm like, you are the man. Pay your rent. Pay your rent.
You are the man.
Like, I just, I'm like, I have sympathy for none of you people. Like, just get jobs and pay your rent.
My dad's rich. Well,
yeah.
Like, cool. Take that trust fund.
Yeah.
And buy the building.
Right.
And don't worry about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And don't forget about our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. I guess next week we will be tackling Venom.
There's two of them. So
there's two Venoms?
Yeah.
What?
There's three, actually.
What does that mean?
Well, Carnage is a Venom offshoot, and then Scream, who was also in the movie.
Oh, I thought you meant there's like three versions of the movie. I was like, what?
Well,
I'm like,
there's at least two. I think there's a PG-13 cut.
We are reviewing Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Yes.
Okay.
There's one version of that, and it comes out next week.
And it's super short.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like 90 minutes.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. I already like it better than the first one.
Well, the first one was 90 minutes.
Oh.
Well,
then I already like it as much as the first one, which means I...
This is directed by Andy Serkis.
Probably don't like it at
all. It is?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that.
So was that... And?
So was that Jungle Book movie.
So was that Jungle Book movie.
Oh, I'm just saying that it's... Roland Emmerich? Toby?
No.
Who is...
No, the guy, the Zombieland guy.
Yeah, who is that?
Nope.
I can't think of it.
Yep.
Not Roland
Ruben
Emmerich.
Fletcher.
Ruben Fletcher. Yeah. I get... Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting, but we'll see.
I wanted to do the Many Saints of Newark. I thought we should get Matt Bassler and then make him watch all of The Sopranos in the week.
I did tell him,
I
was like, hey, by the way, the week before James Bond, I'm going to do a retrospective. I need you to go ahead and watch all of them. He was like, I'm in.
So, anyway, that's what you have to look forward to. Until next time, JD is planning to blow up the pep rally.
Getting ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Time. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.